We're going to talk tonight about confidence because I really believe that God is wanting to instill something into tonight. I know I say that almost every Wednesday night, but yeah, I was completely going a different direction. I keep on saying we're going to talk about warfare patience. How many weeks have I said that? My dad has said, "Have you said the warfare patience?" So I haven't got to it yet. God hasn't, not patience, peace. But God really tonight, I believe, wants to instill a spiritual confidence in us tonight. He had me up early this morning really digging into this. And you know what? I need this, I think, more than anybody else in this room. So tonight, I really want to stir up some things in your spirit. What I believe that we need for this moment, in this time, in this season. And, you know, confidence is something that we can take the wrong way. When I was a teenager, I was a little bit confident, you know, and it always ends up biting me in the rear. Does anybody realize that? When you have confidence in yourself, a lot of times it ends up, what's the Bible call that? Pride. Pride. It never fails. Whenever I get to a place where I am thinking anything about myself, there's always a big old ditch there for me to embarrass myself in. And when I was a teenager, one time, me and my husband's sister, we went to Florida, and we were on these little mopeds because we weren't quite 16, but you could do that when you were 15, and we thought we were something. So we were on these little mopeds, and we were driving them up and down that strip, you know, like teenagers do. It's a completely different time now. I don't think I would ever let my kids do that. I don't know if our parents were completely just clueless or if it was just safe then, but we did it. So we would drive up and down, and these guys motioned us over there. And they were about our age, and so we pulled in over there. And when we got up, this shows you how arrogant I could have been at that time. We got up, and we were looking at them, and we just thought, we can do better than this. Isn't that terrible to think that? But, I mean, talking to them in just a few minutes, I had such self-confidence at that stage. So I said, "We'll see you later, guys." And I waved. I said it just like that. I can hear that replaying. I've told my kids that story time and time again. I hear it. "We'll see you later, guys." And I pulled out of that parking lot on that little moped. And I caught some gravel and it was loose. And I did like this and then I fell over. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that will bring you back down to earth than something like that. Really, I've had more of those kind of encounters of my confidence being not down to the level it needs to be. But we're going to talk about confidence tonight. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to talk about that kind of confidence. We're not going to talk about self-confidence, because self-confidence always will lead you into an area where it is impossible for you to do it on your own. And either you have found in that moment to find a confidence in God, and God comes in and He lovingly corrects us and helps us find our confidence back in Him again. Or you see people all the time. How many of you have ever been around somebody and they are just so self-confident? And it's not a good thing. You know, I mean, anytime we think more of ourselves than we should, it's a trap of the enemy. And I'm telling you, there is something beautiful about a humble heart. You know, that's what the Bible said about Moses, that he was the most humble man on earth. And man, God used Moses mightily. That humility is something we should seek after. We really should not seek after confidence in ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot make it in life if you don't seek after the confidence in God that He wants you to have. So tonight we're really going to dig into the confidence I believe God wants us to have right now in this moment. We're going to kind of dance around this whole scripture tonight. So I told Joe, if he'd put this up and just keep this up for me. It's Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. And it says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance." Now, remember, we've talked about that part right there. We have need of endurance. Is that word patience? Is that hupomene? "You have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." There is so much depth in that passage right there. There is so much truth to be unfolded and unfolded. And I have done so many searches in each one of those words. But I'm going to tell you, God really told me today to bring to you the simplest form of this scripture. Because even this scripture in its simplest form is something we can hold on to and that will forever change us. I'm telling you, we like to overcomplicate things. I like to overcomplicate things. I'll take something and by the end of it, make it so complicated that nobody can understand it. And I had no idea where I was going. But I'm going to tell you, God's word is so many layers. I tell you that all the time. So many layers. There's so many things he's saying. But sometimes the simple truth of what God is trying to say is the rock that we need to hold on to be able to stand and believe. So tonight, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take this and we're going to look at this simply, like the word of God could be simple. But we're going to not try to overcomplicate these scriptures, because what I want you to know is God doesn't want us to have to get in a lot of times and things to get too complicated that we feel like we can't do it. God will always lead us to things in our life to where we know, hey, with God, I can do that. With God, I can do that. So let's take that first part of that scripture. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. I want you to stop and think back to this year. What is the confidence that God has given you this year, in this season? What is the confidence that He has come into your life personally, and He has spoken to you individually? And I know it seems we are in 6 months into this year, and it seems like we have been in this for so long. But I'm going to tell you, God at the beginning of this season and all throughout this season has spoken things into your spirit. And the purpose of them was to give you a confidence in what He's wanting to do in your life. So we have this scripture that says, don't cast away that confidence. Don't take that and think that it is a little thing what God has spoken into your heart. So I want to give you just about 1 minute. And I want you to just think back on all the things that we've heard prophetically as a church I think are really good. But I'm going to tell you, God has spoken, I know, to each one of you things that He wants to do for you. God has spoken to you things that He's going to bring into a place of blessing. God has whispered into your spirit promises that maybe nobody, you would be so afraid to even tell anybody because it sounds so crazy. But I know my God. And I know that God is always progressing us. The Bible says that, you know, that when darkness comes in, but man, light overcomes. God is always got us going somewhere good. The steps of the righteous are order of the Lord. God has got us going somewhere. So I wanted you to just take about a minute, and I want you to just think about a few things that God has promised you. That God has given you a confidence, even if it was months ago, to believe in for this year. And I'm just going to give you a minute. I'm just going to let it be silent for just a minute. I want you to just think. Even if you have to close your eyes, I'm kind of like that visual. I have to close my eyes and just think for a minute. What are some things God has told me to do? I know that when you get to this point a lot of times and it seems like it has not been accomplished, that's where the enemy loves to come in and he begins to rob our confidence. He loves to come in at that time and he begins to make us question if our confidence is in the right thing. You know, Abraham was spoken into his spirit that he was going to have a son. And it had to be just a holding in of confidence to see that through to the end. Joseph had dreams as a small boy that he was going to be ruler over his family. He had to just have a confidence in what God had told him to do. David, Moses, every person in the Bible almost that God did great things through and for, it started with a word and a confidence that God had placed in their heart to be able to believe for something that only maybe they understood, and maybe they were the only ones that had the faith to believe for it. Number one, the way I want you to simply look at this scripture tonight is you can just hold on to that confidence. And that scripture says that if you don't cast away your confidence, that confidence will have a great reward for you. Now, a lot of times we try to make the believing and the walking and the faith and all that stuff. And a lot of times I'll tell you, the devil does make it look real complicated. But if you can just hold on to that confidence, God says there's going to be a great reward in that for you. How many of you can at least hold on to that confidence? You don't got to know how, when, where, and what way, but the scripture tells you that if you will not cast away your confidence, that God is going to cause that to be a great reward for you. Say, I can at least hold on to the confidence God has given me. Now, how do we cast away that confidence? Let me tell you, the enemy has been fighting me here. I don't know if I'm alone. I usually find out I'm not. But this is where he has been trying to get me to cast away my confidence. He's been trying to get me to move on. He's been trying to get me to say, all right, you've done good here now. You know, it's not all you thought it would be, but let's just move on a little bit. I'm going to tell you, that's deception. That's deception. God is going to do bigger and better than what he has said, even that your mind could imagine in that situation. I'm going to tell you, you hold on to that confidence. You don't move on. Another way that the enemy comes in to try to get us to cast away our confidence, he gets us to come to a place where we are settling and we stop challenging the enemy with what God has told us. Man, I've been there. It seems easier to settle than to get up day after day and challenge the enemy with those words of confidence God is putting in our spirit. And so just because of the thought that we might want something other than warfare, that we might want something that we talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago, fake peace, that's really not peace. We'll just kind of allow ourselves to stop being so confident in what God has told us. But when we do that, we are casting away our confidence. I'm going to tell you, that's not God. That's not God's desire. That's not God's will. God's will is to put inside of you something that you can hold on to with every breath that's in you, because it will be a great reward to you. The enemy will come in and try to get us to get comfortable where we're at. He'll come and he'll try to get us to cast away our confidence by saying, where you're at is good. You know, this is what he did to the children of Israel when they were going through the wilderness. You know, they got tired of fighting. They got tired of doing all of these things. They just got really comfortable in that area. And because they got comfortable in that area, they stopped having a confidence in what God wanted to do through them. And it costs you time. It costs you time when you don't stir up that confidence that God has given you, maybe if just you, to believe. So I want you to believe tonight that that confidence, that those words that God spoke to you are enough to even only just bring you a great reward. Let's go on to the next part of that scripture. It says, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, we've already talked about, for we have need of endurance. All of us need patience. All of us need to learn how Noah did to get our feet in, grip our feet in, know that God's timing is right. But it goes on to say, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. How many of you this year, you have made steps of obedience? I know I have. I know most of you right now, your lives, I know most of you, you have made steps of obedience. Man, God has told you to do something. God has told you to say something. God has told you to plant something. God has told you to move out of something. And the only reason you did it was because you wanted to obey God. You wanted to do his will. I want you to just think about for 1 minute. I'm just going to give you 1 minute. And I want you to stop and think, what are the things that I have done this year in this season that have stepped out in obedience? What things have I done, not of my own accord, but because I knew God wanted me to, because I knew God told me to, because I knew that God was leading me to? What things have you done that you stepped out and you've obeyed. I'll give you a minute. Raise your hand if it's been more than one. More than two. I'm going to tell you, from the littlest to the big things in our life, if you have done the will of God, this promise, this scripture, this word says, you may receive the promise because you have been obedient. You can take that word right there and you say, I need patience, but because I've done what God told me to do, I'm going to receive this promise. There's a confidence you can have in doing your part and God doing His part. How many of you, those steps, they weren't easy? They were stretching. I can think of one that I watched my husband walk through and I thought, I am so glad I'm not being stretched in that area. Ooh, it was not easy. I don't think God trusts me that much yet. There are things that when God calls us to it, they are out of pure faith and pure obedience. But man, God placed them in here. He told you to do them. You know, think back to Moses when he had ran away from Egypt and he had made a family for himself. It would have been so much easier for him just to sit there and to be fruitful and multiply. But because God had told him something and given him a confidence, he had to get up and he had to go out and he had to do things that for years stretched him. But because he knew something, he knew that after he had done the will of God, that he was going to receive a promise, that he was going to be called to God, that God was going to be able to say, you know what? You did it good. And you have that same promise. What this scripture tells us is that each of those steps that we had to take to receive our promise, that we will receive a great reward. So I want you to look at this scripture simply. I want us to just grab a hold of the simple faith that it says that I've done the will of God. Everybody say that with me. I've done the will of God. And I'm going to receive the promise. I got a confidence in that. I have an assurance in that. I have a belief that God's word is true. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That scripture is kind of cutting to the heart. But one thing I want you to know that the enemy does, he'll come in with a desire, with a compelling force to try to get you. Because after you have held out your confidence and after you have chosen to honor God and obey Him, and when you still seem to be standing there in a moment looking for the miracle, he'll come in and he'll try to cause you to pull back. He'll come in at those moments and he'll try to cause you to rationally think about things. How many of you have the enemy came in and tried to get you to just think rational about this? Or, I can't wait till things go back to normal. You're a Christian. Your life's never going to be normal. You might as well get used to that now. How many of you, the enemy gives you the eyes? I'm telling you, he does this to me all the time. He gives me the eyes like the children of Israel. We want to look back and think life was better there. I'm going to tell you, life is never better stepping back. It's just not. Even though the enemy comes in very deceptively and tries to get us to draw back. And one of the number one ways he does that in my life is through fear. He'll come in through the avenues of fear to get me to pull back. I mean, I've sat up here and I've said some things. And when it came out, I was like, that is not how I meant to say that. And I will spiritually begin to pull back. I feel myself. Instead of going at it, I'll pull back. And we do that in life all the time. The enemy will come in and he'll drop insecurities and lies into our hearts. And instead of us just pushing through it, we pull back. We begin to pull back. Now, I believe most of you in here, I know most of you in here, and you got a strong confidence in God. You know God could do anything. You know God is mighty and powerful and capable, and there's nothing God can't do. So the enemy usually doesn't try to come in and attack our thoughts about how big God is. He loves in my life to come in and to attack how big and strong I am. That's the way he works with me every time. He'll bring in this fear that I got it all wrong, that I missed hearing God. He'll make me start to self-doubt my spiritual place, start to self-doubt my confidence in what God has told me. He knows he can't attack with me the ability of what God can do, but he tries through his form of deception to come in and to try to get me to disattach from God because I don't think that I ever heard God or was in the right place or can do what God has told you to do. Is anybody else like that today? Let me tell you, that is the enemy. That's called self-doubt. And if the enemy can come in and he can get you to separate yourself from the word of confidence, then he's gotten you to abort that before it even began to form. You can't doubt that you're the one that God wants to use. You can be so thankful God chose to use you. You don't understand sometimes why or how. But let me tell you something. If God spoke it into your spirit, he wants to use you. And anytime the devil tries to come in and say, well, you didn't really hear God, will say, you know what? If I didn't, God will straighten me up, devil. You will not be the one that puts my feet back on the ground. You got to have a confidence in when God spoke to you that he cared enough to speak to you. If he can get us to draw back out of self-doubt and not doubt God, he can get us to succeed in attacking our faith in God, and he moves us out of faith. This is what we've been talking about, the devil's devices, the manipulation tactics he uses on our mind. If he can come in and start to put these thoughts that gets us to doubt, it starts to work against the faith that God we need to have confidence in God's plan in our life. So don't let him. Don't let the enemy come in and get you to separate yourself from what God wants to do through and for you. Because here's what the scripture says. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone, say anyone, anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I'm going to tell you, God has done everything he needed ever to do. He has set up this world to where we are overcomers. He has defeated the enemy ultimately for our behalf. He came through the Holy Spirit and he spoke the promise to you in your heart. And when he spoke it, he gave you the faith to have confidence to believe it to the very end. He's done his part. I'm going to tell you, that's the reason that when we draw back, God has no pleasure in it. Because all we simply have to do is have confidence in what God has said he would do. All you got to do is say, because you said it to me, I'm going to receive a great reward. The simplicity of the word, I'm telling you, is rich and it's true. And you can hold on to the scriptures in such a way that you will see it blessed in your life if you will not back up. If you will not draw back. If you will not let yourself get idle in a place. And I'm going to tell you, this is what God told me. This was personally. God speaks real truthful to me because he likes to straighten me up. He said, I don't like lukewarm. And he was talking to me. But I love correction. I think it's very good for me. And when he said that, I knew exactly what he meant. He said, I've already done it. Get on the hot side. I've already spoken it to you. Get on the side that says God's going to do it for me. Have the confidence that God wants us to have to see it through. Whatever the reason the enemy is tempting you or me to draw back. Tonight, I want to just encourage you something that I feel like God showed me in what we have in that confidence. There are things that God wants to do that we've got to encourage ourselves up in. And we've got to know the way God wants to work in our life to be able to do bigger things than we can imagine. Because we agree, right, that we are not of those who draw back. Say that with me. Say, I am not of those who draw back. I love Miss Forsythe. She comes and she speaks for the first year, and she said this. She said, this year the enemy is going to come and want to like sucker punch you. He's going to want to hit you hard, causing you to back up. How many of you have been hit hard? How many of you have been knocked right square in the, I got this week knocked right square in the face. And everything in you wants to just take a step back and regroup. You just want to get your mind wrapped around what's going on here. I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, this is not me. I think that all the time. I want to make sure that this is, I'm going to tell you, I can ask for forgiveness and God forgives my sins. God is fighting this battle for me and with me. And when the enemy comes and knocks you, it's not just to get the enjoyment out of making you suffer. It's to get you to step back from what God has spoken into your spirit so that you will question that confidence. Because that confidence has a great reward. That confidence is what you need to see you through to the end. We have reason for great confidence. It says in John 1:5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, let me tell you what that word comprehend means. That word comprehend means to seize, to pull down, to tackle, to conquer, or to hold under one's power. So let me read this to you the way that I like, that I would need it. It says, the light shines in the darkness. Everybody say, I'm the light. But that darkness could not seize, pull down, tackle, conquer, or hold it under his power. You have a promise that no matter what is going on, that light that God has placed in you, that light that he placed, that confidence, that word, that promise, that dream. I'm going to tell you, church, we are called to be dreamers. Today in prayer time up here, I'm going to tell you, God wants to dream through us. God wants to speak to your spirit in such a way that, you know, when God created light, all he simply said was, let there be light. That's all it took, was the rhema words coming out of his mouth into existence. We're the avenue that travels through. So when God comes and says, I want to do this through your life, in your family, in your body, I want to this to be something that I can birth through, you are the conduit that light births out of. There is a confidence to hold on to in that. Because the word says, it will never be overcome or conquered by the plans of the enemy. He cannot win. He is darkness. There is no light in him. You are children of the light. The light will not overcome the darkness. You got to have a confidence in the battle is already won. It's already been said. The only way the enemy can win is if you abort the light that God placed inside of you. And I'm going to tell you the way you do that is, man, you just cast off confidence. You take what God has spoken by faith into your spirit and you just cast it away. You separate yourself from it. When you separate yourself from what God has told you, you are going to be the one that God cannot birth through. And that's on us. And I know that is easy to do when the enemy is sitting there tempting and speaking and trying in every way to just grab the confidence God gave you for this year. How many knows this year we are going to the other side? This year God is birthing a new level of living. There is such a rhema word I believe God has spoken into every person's life this year. Raise your hand if God's given you a rhema word. A word from his breath that is the light of God inside of your spirit. Does it make sense? It don't to me. I'm going to tell you what God has spoken to me. It don't make sense all the time. Can I see it? No, I can't see it. But I'm going to tell you that I have a confidence in that God has placed in my spirit, that he has the ability to cause it to come to pass. That's the confidence it takes to see the great reward. This doesn't mean that darkness will not attempt to overcome it. You need to know that. Darkness is going to do everything it can to try to overcome it. It's going to, in every possible way, try to come in and manipulate and make it look like you could never overcome it. But light overcomes darkness. There is a success in God's hands that He's wanting to birth into your life. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Your life being happy and blessed is contingent on you having a confidence in it. Because we don't step back. We move forward. God's got places He wants you to go. One thing I absolutely know, and I ask myself all this time, God, why? Why would you want to do something like that for me? I'm going to tell you, He's a good Father. He is a good Father. And as much as you want to do things for your kids, man, He gets great joy in seeing your life blessed. He gets great joy in seeing you overcome. He loves His children to be able to walk through life blessed and whole. It says in 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I'm going to tell you, when you ask Jesus in your heart, you became born of God. You are His son and you are His daughter. And because of that one simple scripture right there, you are overcoming the world. You are an overcomer in every way. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our confidence, our assurance. I'll tell you, number two way that the enemy tries to come in and rob our confidence is he tries to put mountains so big in front of us that we can't even see a way to see around them. How many of you have any mountains like that right now? Me and my husband are walking through a process, and I'm going to tell you, there's mountains that I'm at, in myself, there is no way I can overcome them. But God is really unique in the way He wants to work in our lives. God loves to take insurmountable things and to do creative things with them. Think about Moses and the mountain, all right? Moses came up to this mountain, and everybody else said, oh, that's a big, fiery, lightning mountain, and stood way back. But you know what God made that mountain be to Moses? The highway to the presence of God like no man has ever had on earth before. God calls that mountain to become a pathway for him so that he could move to a higher level of living. Church, if you don't get anything else out of what I've said tonight, I want you to understand something I really believe is for tonight. Zechariah 4:6-9 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, which I love. That means there's angels, armies, got to do what he needs to do. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. God wants to take that mountain and make it be a pathway to a higher level of living for your life. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to believe that and see that. But in Isaiah 49:11, it says, I will make each of my mountains a road and my highways shall be elevated. What seems in front of you too big for you ever to outmaneuver or outthink, God's desire is for that to cause you to lift up a highway to a higher level of living. God wants us to live on another plane. He wants us to live above where we are living. He wants a higher level for you, a higher walking for you, a higher spiritual talking for you, a higher ministering for you. He does not want us to live paycheck to paycheck. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm not usually a prosperous, but I'm going to tell you, God wants more for you than that. He wants more than you barely being able to make it to church with the gas that's in your car. God wants a higher level for that. He wants more for you than looking at yourself underneath all the time and worthless. He wants a higher level of thinking of His children. He wants you to move to a place to where when you come to church, you don't leave loved ones at home. God wants a higher level for you. He wants to bring you to a place where He can birth His dreams and His miracles for you. And that mountain that you see is just the steps He wants to use to get you there. That's the confidence you can have in God. That's why God takes no pleasure if we draw back. That light that He placed inside of us, that light that He placed inside of us, it's what we need to have the confidence to believe this mountain is a pathway to a higher level that God wants to birth in my life. I want to close with a statement, if I can. Because see, here's what David said. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Unless I had a confidence that I would see the goodness of the Lord in this land where my feet are, where I am walking in this valley. He had to believe with a confidence that God had goodness for him. I'm telling you, God wants you to know life is better and better and better. God wants you to believe the things that He's placed inside of your heart with such confidence that you know that is your great reward. David said in Psalms 27:13, and I'm going to tell you, I have felt this very scripture so deep in these last couple of weeks. He says, the Lord is my light and He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now just listen to the place that he was in when he said this. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and they fail. I'm going to tell you, God, you can have a confidence that will give you the reward that God has placed in your heart. You can have an assurance that you have been obedient. And because you have been obedient, God is going to reward you with the promise. Tell the enemy, I will not back up. I will not step back. I will not relent. I will stand. And I'll believe just like David, I would have lost heart if I didn't have this confidence that I was going to see the goodness in my health, in my body, in my family, in my job. God has it for you. Hold that confidence. Hold that confidence in your spirit. Hold that word in your heart. I want everybody to just close your eyes. I want to tell you some things. I want you to know that God is strong. Don't lose confidence in that this year. Even though it's 6 months into the year, it's already June, your God is strong. Hold that confidence into this year. God is going to cause you to live a life in such a new way that those former ways that you don't even remember. Don't lose confidence in that promise from God this year. You are not going under. You're going over. Don't lose confidence in the power of God to make a road on a mountain. Don't lose the confidence in God to make a highway where it seems no passable way. These steps of obedience that you have taken this year have not been in vain. Don't lose confidence that God didn't see every time you were stretched, every time that you were challenged, every time that you obeyed, every time it wasn't easy. Don't lose confidence. God saw it. He saw the steps you took for Him. And because you took those steps, He is not going to leave you there without a reward. There's going to be a promise at the end of that. Don't lose confidence that God is taking you to a higher level. He is making a higher road. He is causing you to walk in a higher way, to believe in a higher way, to live in a higher way, to pray in a higher way, to move in a higher way. Don't lose confidence that God is not going to do what He told you He was going to do. Father, right now, Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that as we hold on to the confidence and we don't cast it away, as we hold on to the precious promises that You have spoken, that You have applied, that You have given us, as we hold on to them, God, that there's going to be a day that we're going to say, I would have lost heart if I didn't believe it, but because I believe it, I'm an overcomer. That is the privilege of being Your child. That is the privilege of being Your daughter and Your son. We don't live normal lives, church. We live faith-filled lives. We live victorious lives. We live triumphant lives. We live an overcoming life. Whatever is in your life that seems impossible, all it takes is confidence in God, because God is in the business of doing the impossible. He's a master perfecter at that. Father, right now, Lord, I thank You for birthing, for stirring a new confidence in You. for giving us such an excitement in what you want to do in our lives. For not allowing us to say, well, it all should have already happened. Or you know what? I don't want this. Like, you want this life, church. I'm going to promise you, God, we want this life. We want the life of a believer and an overcomer. We want the life to be able to look you in the eye and say, God, we did it. We did it your way. Father, I thank you today that as we secure our heart in you, as we depend on you, that we don't cast away our confidence. And I thank you and I praise you, God, that we have a great, 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 great reward. There's no second guess in that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking this life, this vessel, and birthing life and light into it. Thank you that anywhere you place me, that the light you've placed inside of me will overcome darkness. It will overcome darkness. I have a confidence, God, that you're going to overcome everything that the enemy has tried to set up against us this year. And that it's going to be the promises that you have given us in our heart and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you a confident church? Are you a confident church? I'm going to tell you, say, I don't shrink back. I don't. I don't back up. I keep on moving. I keep on moving. I keep on moving. And my confidence is not in myself, because that's always an embarrassing place for me. My confidence is in the Lord. You guys go this week. Have a blessed week. Have a wonderful week. And be confident in what God has promised you. Love you guys.